Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Dr. Zelenko. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified family physician with over 20 years' experience, nominated for the Presidential Medal of Freedom, nominated for the Nobel Prize. Dr. Zelenko's team was one of the first in the country to successfully treat thousands of COVID-19 patients in the pre-hospital settings. Dr. Zelenko developed his now famous Zelenko protocol, which has saved countless lives worldwide. He recommended hydroxychloroquine to President Trump, and I am very honored and happy to have Dr. Zelenko back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Dr. Zelenko, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for being back here. And since you were on, a lot of things have happened with boosters, with the children now coming into the picture. But I want to just go back in time to when the pandemic was first starting and you were looking at it and people were wondering what was going on. And what I find very interesting back in that time, and actually moving forward, is that the fake news, the mainstream media, doctors on TV, the CDC, the FDA, how come they never talked about exercise, eating right, taking supplements during this period of time to boost your immune system? Why did we have liquor stores open? Why did we have gyms closed? Didn't they think that was something that we should be doing, exercising, eating right, taking supplements? Why do you think they removed all of that?
Well, in retrospect, we can put together the really reverse engineer the worst crime in human history. And, you know, only if you look at things from the right perspective through the right glasses will things make sense. And those glasses are not the eyes of a decent person. In other words, you know, there's a book about Stalin that he wanted to build a canal from Moscow to another city. He used the Gulag prisoners to do it. 400,000 died, and they were buried into the cement and became part of the canal. And then when the canal was finished, not one ship ever used it because it was too shallow. So the question was asked, why was this canal built? And the answer was so that 400,000 people would die.
Wow.
So if you look at it from that perspective, if you look at the, because look, life-saving medications like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and others, access to them was suppressed. Knowledge about them was suppressed. Any doctor who dared to speak against the government's narrative was deplatformed. And now we see all the side effects through these horrific vaccines being suppressed as well. So you have to ask yourself, what is going on here? How do we put the whole puzzle together that the story makes sense? So if you think it was actually about your healthcare and about what's best for you, then you have all the questions. Then you have all your questions. However, if you look at it as if our government is our worst enemy and is actually part of a eugenics program that is designed to murder a percentage of us immediately, and then chronic illnesses, make infertile the rest. And according to recent patents that were filed and approved, United States patents, that prove that there is tracking technology in these vaccines. I can read you the patent number shortly, but there in August 31st, there was a patent approved by United States Patent Office that describes 50 pages of high complex engineering and nanotechnology about what exists in these actual vaccines. And there is technology that allows to measure your internal physiological data, like temperature and heart rate, let's say, and then transmit that data with your location to a third party. And before you call me a conspiracy theorist, I'm a conspiracy realist, because I actually have the patent. So people who want to look into it and then see for themselves, and then if they disagree with me, we can debate about it. But someone who's just going to write me off and say, oh, he's just a conspiracy theorist, is just an idiot. So I'm not pulling any punches anymore. We are part of a coordinated effort to cull or depopulate a large percentage of our population of innocent people. Otherwise, why would you vaccinate children? Children who have a near 100% chance of recovery from COVID. Why the hell would you put a needle into them that has blood clots, side effects of blood clots, myocarditis, increase in miscarriages, increased cancer, increased autoimmune diseases, most likely infertility, and then the dreaded antibody-dependent enhancement reaction for a disease that children have a 99.998% chance of recovery. That is not for the welfare of the children. There is another agenda there.
So when you say eugenics, when you say depopulation, do you mean that getting this vaccine, and I'm not talking about just the first two jabs, do you think it's going to be over time? Because look what's come out already. And we'll talk about the children in just a sec. Look what's come out already. They've already said, okay, those people that are immune compromised, they can now get the fourth booster. I mean, it seems like this is never going to end. They're going to continually push booster after booster. And do you think over time, these boosters are going to weaken our immune system?
The antibodies produced from these shots are literally bombs. If you look at the animal models, excuse me. My apologies, I'm actually getting chemotherapy. I'm in the hospital, so I'm trying to multitask here. Yeah. These antibodies produced by these vaccines result in antibodies that are lethal to people. Now, how do we know that? Well, there's a history behind here. There's something called antibody-dependent enhancement. We saw it with the RSV vaccine in the 60s, where the vaccine killed more kids than the virus. We saw it in the dengue fever virus vaccine in the 70s, where it killed more adults than the actual virus. And historically, we've seen a large percentage of animals die in any coronavirus vaccine. And when research was done, they found that because it was a catastrophic immune reaction that actually killed the animals. And so here's my question. Wouldn't it be a good idea to exclude this phenomenon from the human race before you immunize everyone? And the answer is it wasn't done. So we're in the experiment. And the world expert, and by the way, this is not me saying that. This is very important. I'm relying on the words of world experts. Dr. Luc Montagnier, a very important person. He won a Nobel Prize in 2008 for discovering HIV, said that this is the biggest risk of genocide to the human race in history. Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA vaccine, said, don't take it. It's too dangerous. The government is lying to you. We're beginning to see the antibody-dependent enhancement. Dr. Michael Yidden, who was vice president of Pfizer, former vice president, said that for every one child that dies naturally from COVID, 100 will die from the vaccine. What are we doing?
So
it's a cumulative problem. The more boosters you take, the worse the problem is. And the key here, I like to rely on King David's words. In Psalms, he says, turn away from bad, do good, and live. So in this particular case, turn away from bad is don't give into fear, don't isolate yourself from the people you love, and don't take the poison death shots. And do good means that if you're in a higher risk category, take antiviral prevention or prophylaxis, and if God forbid you get sick, start treatment on day one and you'll live.
So going back in time, when you recommended hydroxychloroquine to President Trump at the time, if we used hydroxychloroquine with your protocol that you developed, do you think this entire pandemic right now, it wouldn't exist?
Well, it's not what I think. It's about the data.
Okay.
My observations showed a reduction in hospitalization and death by 84%. Meaning, if you treated high-risk patients in the early stages of the disease with an antiviral protocol, mm-hmm. See, COVID-19 is two diseases, really. It's the viral infection, the viral load, and there's the insane immune response, which causes catastrophic lung damage clots. But that happens a week later, right? Okay. So the key is, if you can get rid of the virus in the first few days, the complications never happen. You know, the best illness is the one that never happens. So timing is everything. And it was early intervention that was key. Now, there are many protocols now. I never said that my protocol was the best. I only said that it was the only one at that time. Mm-hmm. But subsequently, as more information came up and we learned about steroids, we learned about ivermectin, we learned about blood thinners and drugs like Luvox and colchicine and monoclonal antibodies. And so now a doctor has a whole you know, war chest of different approaches that we can custom tailor to each patient and depending on their history and their clinical presentation. Medicine is not cookie cutter, you know,
right.
And it's also very important to be dynamic and be able to integrate new information and treat people with the best available information at that moment in time. Now, there have been dozens of peer-reviewed papers that have all concluded the following, that if you treat high-risk patients in the first few days, you reduce hospitalization and death by 85%. That means out of 700,000 dead Americans, 600,000 could have been prevented from going to the hospital even. Does that answer your question?
That does answer my question. So do you think the CDC, the FDA, the WHO, do you think they are corrupt? Because they're the ones who are putting out the opposite message.
Okay, if you look at the NIH today, don't treat COVID unless you're in the hospital with an oxygen level of 92.
Mm-hmm.
Recommendation of a agency or a government that wants you to die. In other words, they're saying don't treat early, allow for the complications to happen, and then when you're in the hospital, we'll try to put the fire out. It's moronic. And the CDC and FDA, I just do the opposite of what they recommend at this point. They have clearly proven themselves to be prostitutes that sell themselves to the highest bidder. If you look at the FDA's two last commissioners, Scott Gottlieb and what's his name? I forget, but Stephen Hahn, yeah. Both of them now work for Moderna and Pfizer.
Right.
Really? And Janet Woodcock, who's probably the biggest mass murderer in America right now, advised Rick Bright, who was the head of BARDA, to restrict access to hydroxychloroquine in direct opposition to the executive order of President Trump. And so instead of making it available through the right to try legislation that Senator Ron Johnson championed, what they did was they issued an emergency use authorization that restricted the use of hydroxychloroquine only to hospitalized patients, meaning that the national stockpile was closed to patients that were not that sick, you know, in the primary care setting. And that led to thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people getting much sicker. So why would I trust these so-called agencies? Half their budgets are from the pharmaceutical industry. You know, if I was in charge of these agencies who are designed to protect the interests of the public, I would create a firewall that none of the employees of these agencies can go work for Big Pharma, and that they cannot take any money for their budgets from Big Pharma. How do you expect them to be unbiased and to evaluate drugs and therapeutics if they're being literally bribed and paid by the same companies that they're evaluating? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what's going on here.
So, I mean, now it's come out that Fauci, he did fund gain of function. He lied to Congress. With everything that Fauci has said now about the science that he uses, the people are no longer actually believing him because they're starting to realize that he is lying to us about everything. I mean, what I've noticed about Fauci and the rest, they've never shown us any actual science where they have proven that what they're saying is absolutely true. So for people that are wondering and people are like, okay, what's going on here? Should people pay attention to Fauci? Should they have ever paid attention to Fauci? Or is he corrupt just like the FDA, the CDC, and the rest?
I think Fauci should be face military tribunals for treason, for sending critical technology to China, our worst enemy, and then funding that technology and research to develop a artificially made bioweapon. You know, if 18 months ago I would have told you COVID-19 is an artificially made bioweapon, that would be called a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Now I could tell you the following with a very high degree of resolution that in 1999, Ralph Baric, Dr. Baric, in the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, took a bat virus, bat coronavirus, and modified a surface protein and made it infect human beings. And he patented that technology. Now, it wasn't lethal at that point, but now an animal virus is infecting human beings. And then in 2015, Dr. Baric and Zheng, Dr. Zheng, who was the chief, they call her the Bat Lady, the chief researcher at Wuhan, funded by the NIH, the paper actually says it, funded by the NIH, took this virus and augmented its payload, its lethality, to destroy human lung tissue and cause blood clots. And we have the patents associated with that. So this is an artificially made bioweapon, funded by Fauci's organization.
So you don't, so this was not, I mean, we're finding out that it's not occurring naturally. So did China actually, because it was done in the Wuhan lab, did they attack us with this weapon?
I think it's much more complex than that. I think that whoever, the serpent has many heads. For sure, the Chinese Communist Party is not looking out for the best interests of the American public. But neither are the World Economic Forum, and neither are our politicians. And so it's very hard to know who is the true devil here, except that they're very, very well organized and coordinated. Look, what was needed in order to pull this off, I have to tell you, it's evil, but absolutely brilliant how they pulled it off. Because you need to be able to manipulate media, both mainstream and social media, academia, because they needed to generate the fraudulent papers so that the corrupt politicians could make unethical policies. And then you had industry who facilitated all this. So pharmaceutical industry in particular. So how many people are stakeholders in these sectors? How many people are able to manipulate such large components of our lives? And there's not too many people. I would say, like, you know, if you look at companies like BlackRock and Vanguard, there's something called circular ownership. They own each other. Mm-hmm. So they formed a monopoly where they manage $20 trillion of global assets. So, for example, they own Pepsi and Coke. They have their foot everywhere. And so these companies are able to manipulate entire industries. So then, you know, we can try to speculate who owns these companies and why they're doing it. But what I've seen is a very well-coordinated plan where the politicians used fraudulent academic papers, and the media propagated the false narrative, and industry was ready to come and make available all the resources needed to shut down the world and create chaos. Because really, I think the main pandemic here is fear. COVID-19 is, if you treat it properly, is easier to cure than the influenza virus, meaning if you treat it within the first few days, if it gets out of control, it's an absolute disaster. So we could actually control this virus. However, because of the satanic policies of our leaders, what's happened is that there's a pathologic fear. There's a global psychosis really going on, where people are no longer able to think rationally or with analytical thought, and just do things emotionally to relieve their pain. That's why they gravitate towards things like the vaccine, even intelligent people, without thinking through it, because they don't want to live in that fear state anymore. So they believe that by taking this vaccine, it's going to reduce their fear and allow them to reintegrate with society. What happens is, if you challenge their narrative, they become belligerent. Why? Because what you're really doing is bringing them back into the fear state that they so definitely don't want to be in. So this was this is psychological warfare. Anyone who studied it could see it very clearly, that it's the use of fear and the use of isolation over, let's say, 6 months causes a psychological decompensation in the person, and then they become completely gullible, completely, you can manipulate them to do whatever you want. So all the therapeutics that were promising, that essentially gave the public hope that, in other words, you don't have to die from this virus. You don't have to isolate yourself from the people you love. Here's some common sense, even over-the-counter measures that you can take, and you'll be safe. That was a weapon against their weapon. And the whole point, look, I call Gates a sociopath. So this sociopath is on record saying he wants the world population reduced by 15%, that's a billion people, through the use of vaccines because of global warming. That was in 2015. The same sociopath in 2020 said 7 billion people need to be vaccinated. So one simple question, why would I take a vaccine for my health from someone who believes that the world population should be reduced?
True.
Anyway, so what the whole point of this trauma, global trauma, is to motivate 7 billion people to choose to take a poison death shot. And what we've seen, if you look at the VAERS data, you know, a year ago in October of last year, there was a internal presentation in the FDA about the known side effects of these vaccines. Mm-hmm. It was a slide. It wasn't supposed to get leaked. I have it actually. I'll forward it to you. And it had a list of side effects. Well, death. That was a good one. Then transverse myelitis, ADEM, multiple sclerosis, seizures, you know, epilepsy, heart attacks, strokes, and the list goes on. Now, that was in October, 2 months before these vaccines were rolled out on the public. Now, if you look at the VAERS database and see the categories of what people have reported, it's a 100% correlation. In other words, 2 months before these poison death shots were released to the public, it was already known all the side effects that are going to happen. And the proof is that there's 100% correlation with that which was presented internally in the FDA to what the public is reporting. So you know what that's called? That's called premeditated first-degree murder and genocide.
So they knowingly knew all.
That's right. It wasn't like, oops, we didn't know. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was by design. And you know, how many dead Americans? Okay, here's the question to the public. What's the threshold of death? What do we accept? How many people need to die from one therapeutic before we say it's not worth it? Well, let's look at history. 1976, the swine flu vaccine killed 26 people. The entire program was scrubbed. Okay? According to the VAERS database, in other words, according to what the government actually admits to, there's 17,000. According to the whistleblower that signed an affidavit, it's 50,000. Now, here's the real concerning part, that the 2009 Harvard study on VAERS concluded that only 1% of actual adverse events are reported. Now, I can make an argument that perhaps death is reported on a much higher rate than rashes. Agreed. But what's that percentage? No one took the time to figure it out. So even I'm going to be very generous to VAERS and say 20%. What that means is the number reported only represents, in my opinion, 20% of the actual death. So it's very conceivable that we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dead already.
Yeah.
You know, there was a paper that came out of Taiwan last week, and it concluded that more people have died in Taiwan from the vaccine than from COVID-19. There was a paper that came out of Vietnam 2 weeks ago that said the following, that patients that were vaccinated and got COVID had 251 times the amount of virus when compared to unvaccinated people that got COVID. What that means is the following, that the vaccinated population has hundreds of times more virus in them when they get sick. That means, and the severity of the illness corresponds to amount of virus and also spreading. So it turns out it's the vaccinated that are spreading it to the unvaccinated. And it's the vaccinated that are ending up in the hospital and dying. And that our wonderful CDC director, whatever her name is, Walensky. She said the following, that she analyzed the Israeli data and they had to conclude that anyone who was vaccinated early is getting much sicker and ending up in the hospital and dying much more. and listen to our conclusion. And therefore, they should take a booster shot. You know, world experts, Dr. Sukaret Bhakti, one of the most published immunologists in medical history in Germany, said the following, that if you vaccinate a large amount of people during a pandemic, you exert evolutionary pressure to develop much more lethal strains. And Dr. Luc Montagnier agreed to that. So these are world experts telling us, stop, what are you doing?
So do you think they're creating the COVID virus now through the vaccines? That's what I'm hearing right now, that they're actually creating it through the vaccines. Because first of all, when you get the vaccine, why would you get tested? I mean, I don't get tested for polio. I don't get tested for chickenpox if I have the chickenpox vaccine. I don't get tested for measles. But with all these boosters and what you're talking about, it seems like they're actually creating the COVID virus and the pandemic through the vaccines.
That's one of the mechanisms, for sure. They created the original one, right? Mm-hmm. They created COVID-19 in a laboratory. Not even the liberal media has the audacity to contradict this statement. We are living through a global bioweapon attack. No one's denying that.
Yeah.
And so how hard is it to manipulate, if you can do it once, how hard is it to make new strains?
Yeah.
Look at the countries that are most vaccinated. Israel, Gibraltar, and an island nation called Seychelles. They have more than 80% vaccinated population. Mm-hmm. They're all experiencing massive outbreaks of Delta variant. So here's the question. If they already took two shots, and they're still getting Delta variant, why the hell would I give them a third and fourth of the same thing? You know, Einstein said the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. People are insane.
Now, and you said this in the beginning, that they're going after the children and they're making a very, you know, hard push. Now, this is not the FDA approved. I don't even think there is an FDA approved vaccine. I don't think they're using it on anyone today, but they're using, or they're trying to push this experimental vaccine on young children. I mean, what is their end game with the children?
To kill a percentage of them, reduce their lifespans. You know, the crazy amounts of unusual cancers now we're seeing and autoimmune diseases. You know, who knows its effect on lifespan. And also, you know, there was a bioavailability study that was leaked from Japan. The lie that we were told is when you get the shot over here,
right,
it stays over there. The reality was that Pfizer actually did the testing, and they found that the spike proteins end up in every single organ system. And the number one organ that they ended up was in ovaries. Really?
Wow.
This is internal Pfizer research. It's leaked. Everyone knows this. So what is the end game with children? I think that they're trying to, first of all, there'll be it's a tool of eugenics. You know, what is eugenics? Eugenics is the belief that there's a hierarchy in humanity based on survivability, and that there are three categories of people. There's the Superman, the Superman, Kant would call him the Superman. And then there's the human, and then the subhuman. Now, this sounds familiar, because that was exactly the ideology of the Nazis 80 years ago.
Yes.
They believed that they were descendants of Nordic gods. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Nordic gods. And as such, the Aryan race had the right to dictate who will be enslaved and who should be gassed and turned into dust. And they killed 200 million people in the process. Now, that ideology did not go away. It went to sleep and hibernated, but now it's resurfaced. And it's resurfaced in a very interesting way. It's not really anti-Semitic. But it is, in this generation, we're all Jews from that perspective, because the Holocaust was a dry run for what's going on now. They're targeting all of humanity.
yeah.
to reduce the world population. And the reason why is very simple, that the technology has evolved to such a degree that the majority of manual labor will be replaced through AI and humanoid robots. If you saw, Elon Musk, view his humanoid robots, he said it outright. He said, this will replace 90% of the workforce, and hence we need universal income. Well, you know what that means, right? That maybe initially there'll be universal income, but then after the totalitarian tyranny sets in, that's going to be the population that will be targeted for extermination. And the reason why is they're useless eaters. They're just not needed anymore. They waste resources. That's their ideology. And that's in direct contradistinction to the belief that we're made in God's image. If we're made in God's image, it means our lives have sanctity. If our lives have sanctity, we have human rights. And if we have human rights, it's not for you or me to decide how many of us live on the planet and how long we should live. That's God's department. So it's a collision of two systems. In my understanding, you know, this intellectual elite who believes that they're entitled to dictate what happens to the rest of us. For example, whether or not you can own property. The World Economic Forum has one of its agenda by 2030. This is their slogan. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, what if I want to own something? Who are you? Who the hell are you to tell me if I can own something or not? Or you won't eat meat except on special occasions. Really? And that's, and so they also feel entitled. What kind of sociopath will say that the world population needs to be reduced by 15%? Well, that is someone who thinks he's a god. I wouldn't feel comfortable making statements like that.
No, neither would I.
So this is a fight for the soul of humanity and for God consciousness. And each human being is being given an opportunity to choose. Are you going to, here's your options. I know you're scared, right? The world is crazy. It's dark. But who are you going to bow down to? Are you going to bow down to your creator who makes you every second? Creation ex nihilo. Happy birthday. He just made you. You know, in other words, life is dynamic. It's an act of recreation. And if he's creating you, that means he wills you to be. And if he wills you to be, then he's with you. So why not ask him for fortitude and strength and to deal with the fear and anxiety and for protection? Or what's the other option? You're going to let the fear allow you to be take your thoughts and have a cultish codependency on sociopathic oligarchs, corrupt governments, and the golden calf of the vaccines. That's a choice. You see, that's a choice each individual is doing. Right now, no one is yet holding you down and putting a needle into your arm.
They're trying.
Yes, I know, but it won't, most likely won't happen in America. The difference between Australia, which has gone a full totalitarian hellhole with gulags and internment camps, and they're putting ankle bracelets on people who don't want to get vaccinated. The police are punching people in the face if you're not wearing a mask and smoking a cigarette. I mean, this has all been documented. Mm-hmm. The reason why this is not yet happening in America is that we have 450 million guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens. And the reason why Biden's administration, it's not really Biden, you know, he's demented. He doesn't even know what he's doing. But whoever is pulling the strings behind Biden's policies, the reason they haven't sent their stormtroopers into people's houses, because they know that freedom-loving Americans will not tolerate their assault and battery and attempted murder of their children. And so if they come into my house, there'll be a different type of shot.
Yeah.
And it's not only me.
No, it isn't.
So who, just like a robber to rape my wife, I have the right to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to put a poison death shot into my children, I'm going to defend them.
I agree. Who do you think is pulling the strings?
So that's not a really doctor question. That's a you should ask Alex Jones, really. But I could think through the usual suspects. Look, basically 150 of the richest people in the world own 70% of the corporate wealth in the world. So those are the ones that have vested interests, majority interests in BlackRock and Vanguard, which are really organizations that are controlling, like I said earlier, entire sectors of the economy. And so they have the ability, let's say, I can just war game this, Larry Fink, who I think he's the head of BlackRock, he'll make a phone call. He can make a phone call to media leaders and say, listen, we want you to express this narrative. He can reach out to Harvard and Hopkins, let's say, and say, we have big endowments for you. If you generate research and papers that give us this desired result. Right? And then they can go to the politicians and say, well, listen, guys, you want to get reelected, you want money. And then, they are the industry. So I think that the usual suspects are those people that run the global economy, who are trying to shift our ability to do commerce through digital cryptocurrency, and then be able to manipulate our ability to do commerce based on our social credit score, like they're doing back in China. Mm-hmm. So, for example, since I told you there is a patent already describing the technology of tracking technology inside these vaccines that will, project or send information of your internal physiological data. Well, if you're not broadcasting, they can easily shut off your ability to do commerce. I believe the Christian religion, Christian faith would call that the mark of the beast.
Yes.
And so what really is going on is nothing new. This is an old war, a whole old biblical and historical war that has been clothed in this generation in COVID-19 and the vaccines. But really, it's a attempt at enslaving humanity and allowing for the elite, a small group of people to have full dominion and control over the rest of us, those that survive. I mean, this is exactly what was done. But let me put it this way. It's Stalin and Hitler combined on steroids with weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, it's the same playbook that's going back in time. They're doing the same exact thing. Why are they so worried about the unvaccinated people? Biden came out and he tried to push the vaccine mandates. Mandates are not laws. They keep pointing to the unvaccinated, that they're the problem, but the vaccinated people continually show that they have COVID, and the unvaccinated, they're showing that there is no COVID. So, I mean, I understand. Yeah.
They're choosing to be free. It's the unvaccinated. They're resisting their totalitarian slavery attempts to enslave people. The unvaccinated represent the resistance. It's the unvaccinated that want to live with God consciousness. It's the unvaccinated that don't give in to the fear and to the false narrative and don't want to isolate themselves. It's the unvaccinated who are the freedom fighters of this generation. Hmm. And I have to tell you that the reason why this is happening is because we're allowing it to happen. Because the biggest fear of these sociopaths is an educated public. There are hundreds of millions, billions more of us than them.
Yes.
And if there was civil disobedience, hopefully nonviolent, where we just say no. No, I will take my children out of school and homeschool them. It's not that hard. I know hundreds of people now that have come together in smaller groups, like-minded parents, and have created their own schools for their children. And believe me, there's not going to be school shootings because the parents are literally protecting their young.
Right.
So what I'm advocating for is really two societies, let there be pockets of God-centered living. Let us do business within ourselves and have our own worlds, and let there be continents of tyranny, and you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm not going to allow satanic forces to destroy that which I love most.
Should people
my life for it?
Yeah.
This is a war. This is World War III. 204 countries all faced with the same enemy, mm-hmm. which is fear and isolation, and then using that as a tool to motivate people to literally choose to walk into an execution chamber, lift up their arm, get injected with the poison, and say thank you to the person who gave it to them, and walk out and go to die. Some die right away, some die over time, some become infertile and die, essentially, their lineage.
But we do see the world. I mean, if you look at the protests in France, the protests in all different countries, even in New York, I mean, people were out walking along the Brooklyn Bridge, going against what de Blasio is doing, and people are starting to push back now all over the place. And it is building.
Thank God. And I actually thank President Trump for that, but in an interesting way. You see, what these degenerates plan to do was a very slow and gradual process of enslavement. Mm-hmm. And it was so slow and gradual over decades that most of us didn't realize to what extent our civil liberties were being eroded. And if Clinton would have won, mm-hmm. they would have had another 8 years possibly to actualize their plan. But that's not what happened. 2016, Trump won. Mm-hmm. The first thing he did, and I think in 2017, he went to Davos and he said F you basically to the globalists and said that I'm going to renegotiate all the toxic entanglements that the United States has, and I'm going to put the interests of the United States above that of your global plan. And the next day, Soros, the Nazi, I don't even know the right adjective for him, but came on international television and said Trump is the most dangerous person in the world and needs to be removed from power. And so what happened was they started escalating their timetable. It culminated in a election that at least 70 and most likely 90 million people feel that the legitimate president was dethroned through a coup. Mm-hmm. And so now you have 90 million people who are very cognizant of the tyranny and they woke up.
Yeah.
So it's a race against time. Honestly, that's why I do all these interviews, is because it's about spreading the true narrative. And by the way, I just want to say to the public, don't believe a word I'm saying. Don't make the same mistake with me as you do with the government. What I think you should do is take the information I'm giving you. I gave you very specific information and vet it. Do your due diligence and then come to your own conclusion. I'm just I'm offering you my perspective, and it's up to you to sort out the truth. Anyway, so I think that it's a race against time, which is basically the drive for global enslavement versus the awakening of people's consciousness to what's going on. And it's imperative that we wake up quicker. The rate at which people are opening their eyes is not fast enough. And so we need to intensify the efforts of spreading the true narrative and spread the God consciousness. You see, all totalitarian regimes, the first thing they want to do is get rid of God from society. And it's very simple. Why? Because if I bow down to God, I'm not going to bow down to them. I'm going to derive vitality and fortitude from my creator. Mm. So by using fear and distracting and taking the consciousness of man and making them us codependent in a cultish way on these putrid maggots is the way that leads to our enslavement.
I agree.
So, look, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, historically, biblically, there was a practice of child sacrifice. Now, what's the difference if I cut the throat of a child or I throw a child in a volcano or off a cliff, or I take a child that has no risk from COVID and I inject into them a poison death liquid that has 100 times more kill ratio than the actual virus they're trying to protect? How is that not child sacrifice?
It is. It's exactly the same, just under the cover of a virus story of using fear.
You know, in the Bible, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The two cities that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the commentators asks, why was it destroyed? The answer was immorality. And there's this, no, the whole world was immoral. Why were those two cities singled out? You know what the answer was? That they codified immorality into the law of the land. Mm-hmm. They normalized it. You know, they made it acceptable. So if these degenerates would have their way, my little daughter, 4-year-old daughter, would be sharing a bathroom with a man, with a 30-year-old man who thinks he's a woman. Now, I'm not against people having rights and if they want to have relationships and that are, let's say, gay. Again, it's not my way, but I'm not going to impose or prevent other people from living whatever they want. However, don't normalize it and teach it to my children as if it's your way. That's fine. Live the life you want. Leave my kids alone.
Yep.
I have a different value structure. My value structure is based on the Judeo-Christian model of the Ten Commandments and the belief that marriage is holy and between a man and a woman, and that life begins at birth, life begins at conception. And don't impose your value structure on me.
Dr. Zelenko, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. Once again, how can people see your work? And also, how can people get your Z-Stack protocol that you use on your patients?
Yeah, so I have two websites. The website that has all the information, treatment protocols, and all the research papers, everything I've documented, and has the media and certain very interesting papers that you may want to read. That's VladimirZelenkoMD.com, VladimirZelenkoMD.com. And my over-the-counter nutritional supplement and immune booster is ZStackLife.com, ZStackLife.com.
And let me just ask you this. Can Z-Stack Life, can children take that, or is that just for adults?
We've developed a children's version with gummies.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why I did it, it turns out that most people don't realize this, but the science shows that by inhibiting this enzyme that all the COVID strains were used to replicate, it's called RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, you also inhibit the influenza virus from replicating. So it turns out the flu uses the same pathway.
Okay.
So, you know, think about it. All of a sudden now a nutritional supplement may prevent the flu. And there's plenty of data and papers throughout the literature showing that.
Hmm.
So I'm not so worried about COVID for kids. Although, look, in the beginning when this started, I defined success as don't die, don't end up in the hospital in the respirator. But now we're pretty good at doing that. And there's more subtle components like eliminating human suffering. Mm-hmm. So just because, let's say, kids won't die from COVID doesn't mean they won't suffer from it. they may be sick for a week or so, and the parents can't go to work and so on. So we can mitigate those symptoms and make it go away quicker. That has a value. So that's the COVID angle for kids. But more importantly, my hypothesis, and which is based on dozens of actual papers, peer-reviewed papers, that it will inhibit the influenza virus, potentially. Again, I can only, according to the FDA, say that it's an immune supplement and a nutritional supplement and an immune booster. But I could tell you the following. Quercetin and vitamin C function as a zinc ionophore. It gets zinc into the cell. Zinc is the bullet that inhibits RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, which is an important enzyme for the replication of COVID and influenza, and also RSV, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's another question.
And then vitamin D3 is one of the most important vitamins in the body. The papers, the data shows that anyone with a high normal level of vitamin D, between 50 and 70, does not end up in ICU. In other words, if your immune system has the right amount of vitamin D, your immune system can overcome most infections, and it keeps people from getting sicker and ending up in intensive care units. So that's each individual component of Z-Stack. Obviously, for the kids, I've modified the dosing to reflect weight-appropriate dosing. But, so that's my answer.
Fantastic. I mean, I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Once again, Dr. Zelenko, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.